Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. And I don't know why I'm in such a great mood today. I just am. Maybe it's because it's Christmas season. I hate to sound like a woman, but I'm officially in the Christmas mood. I've caught up with Ob. I've caught up with the wife. I'm in the Christmas mood. Chris, we all understand why you wouldn't get it, because it's about the birth of Jesus. But we are celebrating Christmas on this show. And this hour, we're going to talk about Korea. We are going to talk a bit about this FBI deep state stuff. We'll get to some voicemails, some emails. First, I'm not going to go into a long in-depth thing about Korea because you don't care about it that much and I don't care about it that much, but it was a little eye-popping that we all woke up this morning and we saw a headline, Korea had declared martial law. Speaking of Ob, we were both sitting around having a cup of coffee, just talking about things, and I was looking at the news and I said, hold on, wait, what? And I said, Korea just declared martial law. And she obviously, it's a pretty smart question, said, North Korea, right? I said, no, actually, that's what I would have thought too. No, South Korea. So here's what I'm going to say. First, you should understand they have different political parties like we do. We don't have to go into the details of it. We're not going to nerd out on Korean politics. But remember, like the UK. Whenever you hear about the Labour Party in the UK, the Labour Party, that's their Democrat Party. That's their Communist Party. They're the Communists of the UK. They're the ones who opened up the country and flooded it with Islam from all over parts of the world. And now it's a complete disaster there. So in South Korea, they have Democrats and Republicans too. They're not called Democrats and Republicans, but just know they have different political parties. And what they did, president gets elected, declares martial law, and for all intents and purposes, he ceases political activity. There's military coming in. And look, we'll get to the military portion of it in just a moment. That's actually where I'm going to focus here, but I want everyone to understand something that's taken, it's still hard for me, but it's true. A free society. You know that old Ronald Reagan saying that everyone knows, you've heard it, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We love pulling out that quote from our back pocket whenever we're trying to get our normie neighbor Norm to show up and actually vote in a primary election. Hey, don't you remember Ronald Reagan said we love to pull it out, but There's more to it than that. It bears discussion briefly here. We live in times that change. And we like to imagine that when we live in a free country, relatively free, that's going to be a permanent or at least kind of semi-permanent state of affairs. Here we are in the United States of America, and we have a constitution, and there are limits on the government, and we have this, and they can't do this, and they can't do that. And then you woke up one day, and the government decided that you had to close down your business, and Aiden, Jaden, and Braden weren't allowed to go play basketball in the public park. And you looked around and thought, wait a minute, I thought this was America. Well, times change. When you think about South Korea, given that most people have very basic knowledge of it, and I don't want to act like I'm a South Korean expert. I know a little bit about a little bit, but you like to think of it as the freer baby brother, or big brother, depending on how you look at it, of North Korea. You know, you got the communist scumbags of North Korea, but then there's South Korea, this bastion of freedom. But the bastions of freedom around the world, oftentimes they're not as free as we like to imagine, and they're definitely not as permanently free as we like to imagine. What all is going to happen with all this and how this is going? I don't know. It's a pretty big deal. Even the American State Department came out today on C-SPAN and said, we didn't really know about this.
So, look, this is an incredibly fluid situation. I'm not going to jump to any immediate conclusions at this point. What I can say is that we are watching these developments with grave concern. We're staying in close, appropriate touch with our ROK counterparts, and I'm sure we'll have more to say as the situation continues to unfold. I just don't want to get ahead of that.
Well, I mean, so the rule of law, I mean, the National Assembly has voted now.
Certainly.
To undo this, right. To rescind martial law. So, so from the perspective of the United States, should that stand? Should the martial law be rescinded?
So, look.
You should know, in case you couldn't hear his question, their Congress, I'm just going to call it their Congress responded to this today forcefully and said no. It's not as if the president had some kind of a reason that everyone agreed with. Their Congress voted 190-0. No, we're not doing martial law. And that's what that reporter was asking him about.
Every country, of course, has its own rules and laws and procedures. I'm certainly no expert in South Korean law and certainly how the South Korean legislature works and what the ins and outs are of that. But certainly...
It should be noted that this bumbling boob at the microphone who claims to know nothing about how the South Korean legislature works, works for the State Department!
It is our hope and expectation that the laws and regulations of a particular country are abided by that particular country.
Does that include the National Assembly vote?
That would be the case as well. But again, I'm just not going to get ahead of the process here.
Quote, the U.S. was not notified in advance of this announcement. All right, so that's what's happening over there. But there's an aspect of this I wanted to focus on. It wasn't because it was Korea. And you should know the president's name over there is Yoon Suk-yeol. That's what his name is, Chris. Why don't you grow up? That's what his friggin' name is. Yoon, Y-O-O-N. Do you have a different pronouncement of that? Yoon Suk. That's S-U-K. Yeol. S-E. Or Y-E-O-L. Y-E-O. Yao? Yoel? Yoeltide. Maybe he's a Christmas guy. Anyway, Mr. Suk, he decides that he's going to be the dictator. He declares martial law. All of this stuff, no political activity allowed. But if the National Assembly, Congress, I'm just going to refer to them as Congress, but if the National Assembly, their Congress, say no, and they said no universally, nope, no martial law, and the president says yes, well, what do you do? Well, it all depends on who has the guns, you see. As much as I despise Mao Zedong, he was a pretty savvy operator about many things. And one of the most accurate quotes Mao Zedong ever uttered was this: all political power comes from the barrel of a gun. You see, the president, Mr. Suk, he has the military on his side. And the military has decided, no. Martial law sounds good to us. Now, this comes back to us here. Like I said, we're moving away from Korea. We're coming back home. Remember all those times I warned you when they were kicking the unvaccinated out of the military? When they were having a new pride ad recruiting at every single Turbo Freak rally to get people to join. Remember how many times I told you that they were not destroying the military, not in their minds. They were building a military, a new military for a new enemy, a domestic enemy. You see, when they put in a bunch of trannies and fire all the hard chargers, all the pipe hitters, people will obviously say, this is crazy. China isn't scared of these tranny freaks, but they're not sending the tranny freaks after China. They're sending them after your church. They're sending them after you. And people can scream, that's crazy, that's paranoid. Open up a history book. It's what every government in history has done once it turned evil and corrupt. They take all those guns, bombs, bullets, and people in the military, and they turn those guns against their own citizens in order to retain power. And this comes back to what we were talking about last hour and what we talked about extensively. I cannot put into words how important it is that Pete Hegseth gets the nomination for SecDef, because on a long enough timeline, reforming the military back to what it should be might be the only thing that matters. This stuff happens all the time and always has. And if you think it can't happen here, oh gosh, you want to talk about naive. That's where you are right now. And that's exactly why the American communist has spent years building a different military of very obedient flag officers who will fire upon, well, anyone they're told to fire upon. Now, you, make some preparations for disaster. Because disaster is, it's never far away. We woke up today to another headline about China. They're banning U.S. Exports to us of these critical materials we need. Critical materials we need for our defense industry and other industries. We're always just a breath away from something bad happening. Have you made preparations? Do you have a plan to acquire clean water? What are you going to do for food? My Patriot Supply has you at least covered there. They've been doing this forever. They've helped millions of Americans. They have food kits, emergency food kits, prepped and ready to go. They ship fast, they ship free, and they have deals. They have four-week food kits, $50 off right now. Everyone who lives in your home needs a four-week food kit. Go to preparewithjessekelly.com to get your four-week emergency food kit now. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Let's check the voicemail.
Mr. Baldy, Mini Mittens, I cannot believe the ignorance I heard come out of your mouth when you said that Charlotte is the greatest airport in the United States. You are out of your dang mind. There are multiple that are better. Seattle, Salt Lake, Atlanta, Minneapolis, but Charlotte, bomb. Worst one ever. Play the bar.
Okay, first of all, I'll give you the bar. Second of all, don't ever praise Atlanta's airport to me again. Don't ever praise Atlanta's airport to me again. Whenever you land in Atlanta's airport, you have to contend with two things. Denver, at least, Denver has a horrible airport, but you only have to contend with one of these two things. But in Atlanta, no matter where you land, you've got 20 minutes to get to your next gate. You normally have to take the subway. But Atlanta combines that with the standard American attitude in the airport, where no matter where you go, you're treated like dog crap by every single person who works there. You walk up to Popeyes, you try to get yourself some chicken, you get treated like some kind of freaking pariah. Half the time, they don't even ask, do you want anything? They just kind of stare at you. Yeah, that's Atlanta for you. Atlanta sucks, that's one. Denver, at least the people are friendly in Denver. But if you land in Denver, you better have your walking shoes on. I don't even think the cast of The View could have a layover in Denver and get there in time, because you have to walk 10 miles to get to wherever you're going in Denver's airport. Charlotte's airport is wonderful because, one, it's mid-sized. Mid-size is perfect. There are certain things about an airport that make an airport great. Friendly staff. A friendly face goes a long, long way. A smile goes a long way, especially when you're traveling. Okay, so Charlotte has that in spades. Friendly staff. Check. Food and beverage options. I know every single airport has a Chick-fil-A here, and hey, come get your chilies to go there. I got that. Do your food and beverage options have any character whatsoever? When I'm in Charlotte, I have wonderful food and beverage options. 3, how far is the normal commute from the gate where you land to the gate where you have to get to? In Charlotte, it's not that bad. It's not that bad. One of the worst airports I've ever been to in the world is LAX, because no matter where you land in LAX, just like Denver, it's 10 miles to get to your next gate. Charlotte, awesome. And Charlotte has something else no other airport in the country has. Rocking chairs. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? What's wrong with rocking chairs? What do you mean, what does that matter? How many airports have you been in with a rocking chair, Chris? You know why you haven't been in any other? Because they don't take the time and care that Charlotte does. Everyone loves a rocking chair. You sit down in a rocking chair and you rock. And I mean, you instinctively know this is going to be pleasant. I think I'll rock back and forth. And Charlotte just has these lovely white rocking chairs lining the place. I love Charlotte's airport. Gosh, you guys are friggin' spoiled. Jesse, I live here in Colorado Springs. My state leans left, mostly because of Denver Boulder. In the last election, not one of the 117 judges up for renewal was voted out, including the Colorado State Supreme Court justice who voted to kick Trump off the ballot. All the media focus on the country seems to go to the politicians. We have to expose the judges. Well, this is our fight. Our everlasting fight. This is your fight and it's my fight, and it is up to us. You have a responsibility. We, the informed, we have to convince the normies, we have to wake the normies up that there is more to politics than putting a Donald Trump sign in the yard once every 4 years. There is so much more. If you want to look at politics like a body, like a human body. And we'll go ahead and make the president the head, right? We'll make the president the brain. Maybe not be totally appropriate, but we'll make the president the brain. The American communist sees the whole body and understands the entire body matters. The fingers matter. The toes matter. Your butt matters. The chest matters. The shoulders, everything matters. The American communist understands that, therefore, he is at every school board event. He is getting involved in the election for the judges, the county board of supervisors, the state legislature, state house, state senate. The American communist understands it's critical, and so he's out there ensuring every part of the body reflects him. The American conservative, the person on the right, has never been on that program. We are waking up. To give us credit, it's not all bad news. I used to be all bad news on this, but as we wake up, I'm going to give credit where it's due. We are getting better at this, but we have always only cared about the head, and we'll go out and we'll get the head we want, and we'll be like, yeah, nice. All our problems are fixed. The feet are rotting off. The shoulders are bad. He's got an ugly butt. He did everything else is crappy, but we pick the head and then we turn around and wonder, hey, why is the body not working the way it should? There's so much more to political power than who sits in the White House. We have been negligent on that, and your normie neighbor is still negligent on that. I know you are aware by now. You must inform him. What does that look like? Next time there's a local or primary election, you're going to have to drag them down to the polls because they're not going to want to go, why? We already got Trump. Inform them it's a lot more than Trump. Also, you need to go over to your neighbor, maybe tonight, and you need to tell them about Rough Greens. You need to tell them that their dog's food and their cat's food is dead. There's nothing in it. There's no nutrition in it. How long would you live? How healthy would you be if you had a fast food double cheeseburger every single meal? Yeah, your body would break down and you would die early. You would, because you eat empty calories. You know that's what we feed our dogs and cats? All that food is brown because they kill all the nutrition in it. So start pouring Rough Greens, sprinkling Rough Greens, it's a powder, it's a green powder, on your dog's food. All the vitamins and minerals and omega oils, antioxidants, your dog, you will see differences in your dog, his breath, his coat, his energy level. You won't go to the vet as much. Your dog will live longer, just like you will when you get real nutrition. Want to try a free Jumpstart trial bag? Your dog or your cat? 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
I've got an animal inside of me.
Jesse Kelly. You're listening to The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So Jewish producer Chris was saying during the break that he doesn't ever have a long layover. Well, see, Chris, this is why I'm here to be your mentor. An airport and the options an airport gives you as far as food and beverages and or shopping. We all know you're not going to do any shopping, but it's food and things like that. The options an airport gives you, they're not there for when everything goes right. They're there for when everything goes wrong. I travel in the exact same way. I travel. Look, a lot of people may think that I'm old and not as wild like I used to be. I live life on the edge. And when I say life on the edge, I book for myself the shortest layovers humanly possible. And get this, maybe that's not risky enough for you. I don't show up to the airport 2 hours before my flight. Oftentimes, I don't even show up 1 hour before my flight. I show up, look, I don't check a bag. I just have this rule against checking bags. Unless I'm going for an extended period, I won't do it. I show up, and I'm going to bank on me finding a way to get through security and through the gate. And when it comes to my layover, I'm going to bank on things being on time and going right. But I understand full well that a lot of this may be out of my control, so maybe I will be delayed. Maybe there will be a screw-up. Maybe the other flight will be gone. That's when the food and beverage options in the airport mean so much. It's like a first aid kit. You don't buy a good first aid kit because you need it every single day. Hopefully you never need it. You need it for when things go wrong. You need food options in the airport, not because you're just traveling through. If you're passing through, you do what all of us do. You pop in, you grab a water and some combos, you get on the plane, and you get to where you're going because you don't want to spend money on airport food anyway. Chris, are you ready to have the big one? Oh, we're all going to hear Chris have a heart attack live on air. So, you know how I just told you I plan on not having to eat there? I just flew through Denver, and there was a delay. The things did go wrong. And I stopped and I ate at this place. And they were advertising. I forget what the place is called. I don't want to dime them out anyway, although it was really good. Yeah, The Kitchen. I think it was called The Kitchen. Okay. I stop in The Kitchen. I'm starving. And now my flight's delayed, so now I've got to friggin' wait, and I've got to eat in the airport. I look at the menu, pretty good menu, limited, which is a good sign. Limited menu means they're serving a few things really well. Too big a menu, huge red flag. I stop in the kitchen, and I get a brisket grilled cheese sandwich with an order of French fries and a water. I got a bottle of water with it. Brisket grilled cheese sandwich, French fries, bottle of water. $19. $19 for a sandwich and fries and a bottle of water. And the only reason I'm calling out the restaurant is not because of the prices. I get prices are what they are. It was delicious. It was freaking amazing. If I ever go through there again and I can afford it, maybe I've gotten a raise, I'm going to go back and get another one. And I mean, it was delicious. But airport food is expensive. That's what it is. So it's there for emergency purposes only. What, Chris? Isn't that what the lounge is for? Chris, I decided that I made a mistake earlier on this show, and I'm not going to make the same mistake twice. I have no idea why we're talking about this. We'll get back to politics in a little while. I don't know. Maybe never. So a long time ago, I decided to divulge a piece of information that I should have kept quiet. I divulge information, I say things to you because as big of a jerk and idiot as I am, I really genuinely do care about you, and I hope this show, if even the tiniest way, makes your life a little bit better. If it made one drive to work better for you, that's enough for us. We're not changing the world. So I do like to try to help when I can. But a while ago, I made a mistake. And I told everybody in the country, right here behind the microphone, about the beauty of the airport lounge. Whatever lounge that is, the Delta lounge, the United lounge, the special lounges you watch people duck into as you are just walking through the airport. And I explained that the beauty of the airport lounge is unmatched. The bathrooms are cleaner. There's free food. It's not always the best, but a free cup of coffee. You can't beat a free cup of coffee, bag of chips, couple grapes, whatever. And they'll have some powdered eggs usually or something like that. So look, it's not Waffle House. It's not going to be great, but you're eating in there. You're eating something. But the problem is when you give out information like that to the public, people join. And then the airport lounges, I've noticed, maybe it's in my head, they've been more crowded for me. From now on, I'm not going to give out any information that may impede my travel from now on. I should not have told you about the beauty of the airport lounge. And the thing is, people think, well, you have to be rich or something like that, or one of these business travelers. It doesn't cost a dime. You just switch whatever credit card you have. Everyone has a freaking credit card. You just switch whatever credit card you have, which you do for free. You switch it over to the Delta lounge. You have I don't have one, but you get a Delta Visa or Delta American Express or whatever it is. And then that gives you access to the lounge. So while everyone else is heading down to steerage, you duck into the Delta lounge and you sip on a cup of Joe and you have a clean bathroom where you can put your butt. The airport lounge is the best kept secret That's not a secret. People think it's some kind of exclusive club for millionaires. It's just for meatheads like me or you who got a credit card and then you walk in there for free. Frankly, given the cost of airport food, you probably save money going into the lounge. Highly recommend. Corey, are you a lounge guy in the airport? Corey is too. See, even Corey can. Anyone can do it, obviously. Get into an airport lounge. It'll make your life better. Joe Biden's giving away $1 billion to Africa.
No, that's the right thing for the wealthiest nation in the world to do. And today, I'm announcing over $1 billion in new humanitarian support for Africans displaced from homes by historic droughts and food insecurity.
We've had a little mini talk on this before, but we have to have it again because this goes so far beyond just Joe Biden or even Democrats. Democrats and Republicans are both guilty of this because they're both got into the Washington bubble, and they've been in the Washington bubble for so long that they don't understand what has happened out there. Trump, to his credit, and maybe this is because he's not a Washington, D.C. guy, Trump seems to understand this better than most of them do. And you can find certain individual members of Congress who really start to understand this. They're starting to understand this, but the big shots in both parties don't realize there has been a huge, huge, monumental sea change in the United States of America. Because this is how the United States of America has always operated for my entire adult life. For my entire adult life, Washington, D.C. has invaded everywhere, and they've handed out gobs of money everywhere, no matter what. So whenever there is an earthquake in Singapore, Republicans and Democrats will run to the podium to brag about all the money they're going to send. I'm going to explain what changed and why that changed in just a moment. And for you politicians who listen, you might want to pay attention to what I'm about to say, because I promise you it's 100% true. Before I get to that, you also need to go check out Chalk. I love Chalk so much for how it makes me feel. That's really the difference. How my mind works and how I feel. Natural herbal supplements. We need to focus so much on that. We saw what happened to our medical institutions in this country. Isn't it time to start looking at different ways to take care of ourselves? Chalk is the first place I go. CHOQ. Natural herbal supplements. Clinically proven to have effects on your energy, your focus, your mood. I take a male vitality stack every single day. I drink Chalk lit powder every single morning. Ladies, there's female vitality stacks, but this is a brief window into everything Chalk can do for you. And it's Christmas season time. They're running a huge holiday special for the month of December. You want a massive discount on subscriptions? Go to Chalk.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Even get you a $50 bonus product on your first delivery. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
He doesn't care if you believe him, but he's right. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. So let's talk real quick about what has changed. Joe Biden gets up today. Everyone's screaming mad about it. But he got up today, totally bragging. You can tell by the smile on his face. Thought this was a big win. $1 billion of your money to Africa.
No, that's the right thing for the wealthiest nation in the world to do. And today, I'm announcing over $1 billion in new humanitarian support for Africans displaced from homes by historic droughts and food insecurity.
Have you ever read any stories, maybe watched it in the movies or read a book or heard me talk about stories of mobsters trying to balance their home life with their work life? This will come back to politics. Republicans and Democrats, I hope you're paying attention. Just stay with me. So it's a very consistent story, but you'll have these mobsters, and they start out in this life of crime. Usually they start as childhood gang members, like a street gang. They get recruited by some mafia family where they work, and eventually they become made men and eventually become mobsters. But they oftentimes, very oftentimes, in fact, it seems to be the norm, they're also family people. They'll find a woman and they will marry her and then have kids with her. And oftentimes they actually love them. They do. Not always, of course, but they appear to love their wives and kids, to be family people. But one thing that hits you every time, because I love these stories, I'm always reading these books and watching these movies and things like that. One of these things that hits you is how often they can't keep the two marriages, the two different lives, they can't keep them separate, no matter how hard they try. You see, yeah, they have this mafia code that says the mafia comes first, even before your wife, your parents, your kids, no matter what, the mafia must come first. And so they're always married to the mafia first. And that means they're gone in the middle of the night, shooting people and doing the various things that mafia people do. That means they're missing T-ball games. Try as they may, they can never keep those worlds separate. Try as they may, where their true loyalty lies eventually comes out, and oftentimes it ruins the family. American politicians, Republican and Democrat, have, for as long as I've been alive, they have had the ability, because Americans have had it so good, to get up, give a press conference, bragging that they're going to send $10 billion of your money to Madagascar to save the lemurs. And while there may be some grumbling about it, it's never created white-hot anger in Americans, because we had things good and politicians waste money. And so what's happened is this has created a condition with Washington politicians, Democrat and Republican, where now this is simply how they do business. They're used to handing away large quantities of your money. But two things have happened over time. One, the American citizen has watched his standard of living either stagnate or go down because of inflation. You're not as rich as you used to be because of inflation. That's one. Two, the second thing is the politicians, they stopped caring about us at all. And they started only caring about everyone else, because everywhere else is where they get their bread butter. That's where they get their money. That's where they get their power. That's where they get their praise. You don't get a lot of money, power, and praise for helping the people of North Carolina or Tennessee. You get praise. You get awards. You get a plaque. They'll make a hall, put something up in the Hall of Fame for you when you hand $1 billion to Africa. And over time, they've grown to love handing out money abroad way, way, way more than they care about their own citizens. And over time, it's become obvious to all of us, as we've watched our standard of living go down and as we've watched their loyalty very clearly be split away from us, it's obvious we're not top priority anymore. American politicians had better wake up and realize, and you Republicans in Congress and Senate, listen to the show. I hope you're listening. I hope you're paying attention. I know all your Washington buddies pat you on the back when you give the press conference and you announce another $20 billion to Malaysia to study the fart bug. I get that. It feels really, really good. Your people are growing extremely resentful of you. The people who vote you into office are sick of this crap. We have people right now freezing in the Appalachian Mountains, and the president of the United States of America flies to Angola and announces this.
You know, that's the right thing for the wealthiest nation in the world to do. And today, I'm announcing over $1 billion in new humanitarian support for Africans displaced from homes by historic droughts and food insecurity.
You hear how he says it too? And I realize it's Joe Biden. He's not functional, but do you hear how he's almost anticipating applause and accolades for it? So today, like he's about to make this important pronouncement, one that'll be all over the newspapers It's going to get him praised forever. Today, I'm announcing $1 billion for Africa. For our politicians, it's been a source of pride.
No, that's the right thing for the wealthiest nation in the world to do. And today, I'm announcing over $1 billion in new humanitarian support for Africans displaced from homes by historic droughts and food insecurity.
You Democrats? You Republicans? Then again, it's not just Democrats. We've played it for you 100 times. Mitch McConnell getting up behind the podium as Americans are drowning under the weight of inflation and announcing there's nothing more important than Ukraine. You politicians in this country had better realize times have changed. The American people are watching their standard of living go down, and the American people are starting to really feel like your loyalty resides elsewhere. And every time you brag about handing out more taxpayer money to someone else, it doesn't land like it used to, Jack. Just a heads up. Speaking of not landing like it's used to, let's talk about the FBI and first aid training next.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.